And I'm very pleased to be joined in the studio by freelance columnist, author. Her works have appeared in national, regional magazines and online journals, appearing in over 70 titles, and the 13th book is well underway. She's also an archivist and vice president of the Society of Women Writers and Journalists, and her blog is standing at...
Oh, 334,000.
Whoa, and that is Mrs. Sylvia Kent. Welcome to the studio, Sylvia, looking very pleasant in blue. Now, our guest in the studio is a writer, Joy Blackmoor. I'll just say Joy from now on in, and that'll be better. So we're going to start with you, Sylvia. Now, you came in and you said Sylvia Silver Solver.
Oh, yes.
Solver.
Very clever, wasn't that clever?
Thank you so much. Sylvia, first of all, tell us about that.
Well, I write, a jobbing writer, they call me, I suppose. I do all different sorts of work. Last year, solidly on one book, which is coming out hopefully on the 1st of September, about Brentwood and the buildings of Brentwood and the little stories behind the buildings and why they happened and the people that live there. But also I like to enter the odd competition. Don't get much time, but this one I quite liked because it's in honour of the man who started the Times. It was to talk about your past. I mean, Joy probably would win it hands down with her lovely history. But mine was why and how I got into the business of writing.
Yeah.
And it was my secret weapon, which is that I could write very fast. From the age of 12, I learnt shorthand and just took that right up until I was working in Parliament for Hansard. Mm. But anyway, the thing is, I won it. And because of working on the book and going all over the place to research, I couldn't really celebrate. Well, now I am.
Yeah.
And they asked if I would bring it, the little award, into the studio. Not the salver itself, because that is at, in some place of safety, because it's worth lots and lots of money. But I've got the little one here. And, just to have a photograph taken for the publicist that works with me. Green and that chap I've met. I mean,
like Boris? Just off the cuff, is Boris your kind of guy?
I don't know. How do I know him?
You've met him though?
I've filmed him.
Yeah,
I've made a little video of him.
Oh,
We were sent up as representatives of the society to City Hall a few years back, and I said, "Could you hold up our magazine?" Which he did. So I photographed that.
Mm.
We have to advertise, as you do, and everyone in business has to.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was quite. He loves the ladies, and they're all blonde. My little team. So yes, we had 10 minutes of chat, and quite interesting. But the first time I'd ever been to that odd city hall in a city, I expect to have been there. But anyway, that was all right. And so the prize, I'm quite proud of it. It's my fourth silver, and with this organisation, it's there for all to see.
I think we should have a little round of applause for Silver there. And what's going on with
Billericay
readers groups?
Yeah, the Billericay team all reading. We're very, very lucky. They organise it for us. We don't have to buy books at Billericay. Judith King is wonderful, and Susan Lawton organises it. And we're reading The God of Small Things. Now, I can't really pronounce this very well. Arundhati Roy. I'm reading What Maisie Knew by Henry James, an American writer. And we've got a book coming up, Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine, by Gail Honeyman. And so I'm reading that.
Oh, we must talk about I Looked Away, which is by Jane Corrie.
And you had her son Giles on last year, who works for one of the London papers. He works for the I paper.
Yes.
And he is their music person. And he's so proud of Mum. We've got pictures of him alongside the posters in all the big London railway stations.
So what is this book?
This is psychological.
It's called I Looked Away, You Made a Mistake, But They're Saying It's Murder. Oh, I like the sound of this. By Jane Corrie. It is the Sunday Times bestseller. And every Monday morning, 49-year-old Ella looks after her grandson, Josh. She loves him more than anything else in the world. The only thing that can mar her happiness is her husband's affair, but he swears it's over. And Ellie has decided to be thankful for what she's got. Then one day, when she's looking after Josh. Her husband gets a call from that woman, and just for a moment, Ellie takes her eyes off her grandson. What happens next will change her life forever. Yeah. Because Ellie is hiding something in her past.
Indeed, yes.
How far have you got?
Probably first chapter.
I like this.
She's probably listening, and she'll hear it later when you do your
doodle. Jane, I'm going to get a copy of that.
And we're very happy that libraries in Essex are not closing down. Everyone filled in their forms and tried to do that. They're very helpful to me. I'm a patron of Essex Libraries, as you know, with regard to the Essex Book Festival, which is next March.
Yep.
Anyway, Brentwood Writers Circle, everyone's working hard, as Joy knows, having been with us 15 years, and they're all doing their writerly projects. We have the 80th anniversary next year, I think it's next year or the year after. So we're thinking about that. The Society of Women Writers, as mentioned, are full of vim and vigour. Upcoming events at Chichester in London, and we've just celebrated our 125th. And as I work on their history, I can tell you about any of the people we've had, including our lovely Baroness Benjamin Floella, who is always there, welcomes members, guests. And, the writing world just never stops. Mm. You finish one thing and then you're on to the next. With a bit of luck, if they invite you.
Yes.
I'm inviting my friend here to do a book because I know that she'd do it beautifully.
Yes.
So here we go.
And can I just say, I realise, because I was saying to both of you how glamorous you both look, and you have a look, you've been told you look like this person before, you look like a very young June Whitfield. That's who you've got. You do. Have you been told that before?
No, I haven't.
You do. Yeah, you do look like a young June Whitfield. Yeah,
that's a compliment.
Yeah, there we go.
I've met her as well.
Have you? Sylvie's met everybody.
The BBC.
You've always written. So what started for it? Was it as a young girl?
Oh, yeah, as a teenager I wrote poetry and short stories just for fun, really. It was a hobby. And then gradually I thought, I could do something different. And then someone said, why don't you write about something you know? And I thought, factual articles.
Mm.
And I thought, the war years, yes, I remember those. Remember Mum shouting, get down the shelter and forget your shoes. And I ran barefoot to the shelter with my two sisters, and then we were sleeping on the top bunk, and listening to the adults chatting and giving out cups of tea. Just a way of life there. We thought no different, really. That was Stratford, Maryland Point, Stratford, East London.
So what was it like? Because I know that London was really...
There was a lot of bombing there, I remember that. And we went to school, and Mum said, don't forget your gas mask. And we lined up and had a spoonful of cod liver oil in the playground. We just took it without fuss. It was part of school. So we didn't care about it. We looked for shrapnel on the bomb sites, and that was our playground. I don't know, really, they suggest things when you read out your stuff, which is a good thing, and you get people saying, why don't you send it to blah, blah, and I thought, good idea.
Yeah.
This England, they want memories of the war, and I thought, I'll try that.
Yeah.
And, of course, I sent it, and it was published.
Well, how did you feel when you first got the first bit published?
Wow, actually get paid.
Yeah.
But I couldn't write a book. That's too much of a project. But factual things, it's already in the mind. You've just got to mould them into an article, don't you, really? Mm. And then I thought, what else can I write about that I know about? And that's my childhood after the war. And I thought, I'll call it My Hometown. Mm. And that was Canning Town. We moved there when I was 10, and we lived opposite the Flying Scud pub, and then the Rathbone Street Market was on the side. So we went to sleep listening to them all singing Nellie Dean in the pub, and we woke up to the sound of the stallholders shouting in Rathbone Street Market. I thought, where shall I send that? And I thought, Evergreen, the lovely little sister magazine of this England, they always mention CDs for sale.
Mm.
And I thought, if I incorporate a bit of music at the end, they might publish it.
Yeah.
So I wrote about my hometown, and then I finished with, when I hear My Hometown sang by Bud Flanagan, I always think of the happy childhood of my hometown.
Yeah.
And blow me, they published it, and on the next page they had advertised a CD of Bud Flanagan.
Oh.
And one perfect. Of the songs on it, of course, was My Hometown. So, oh, and that's so very great.
That's a lovely magazine.
Yeah, it is. I love it.
Now, you've written about Charlie Chaplin. Why did you, what inspired you? Because it's a factual, why did you get inspired by them?
It always fascinated me because he was married four times and he was married to 18-year-old Una O'Neill when he was in his late 60s and she was only 18 and they had nine children. And I thought, wow, I must write an article about that.
Yeah.
So I looked all up online and then I wrote the article, sent it to This England, and they published it.
So tell us a little three facts that we might not know. Well, one of them is that he was married to an 18-year-old when he was in his 60s. Well, and had nine children. That's one fact. Didn't know
that's
that.
That's amazing.
What other facts did you find out about him?
Really, it was all about, he was a background to other singers and years ago in circus and so on, and he didn't find his feet really for a while, and then someone was ill, I forget who it was, and they said, come on Charlie, you're on, go and get something out of the props room. And of course he found an old hat and baggy trousers and the little cane, and he walked back into the studio and everyone started laughing because he tripped up and made a fool of himself, really. And because that's when Charlie Chaplin was born, and he went on to much bigger thing. Oh, he did a lot of, and he made lovely songs as well.
Yes,
he
wrote
songs.
He wrote. Did you write Smile?
He wrote The Great Dictator about Hitler, and they were going to kill him because of that.
Oh.
But do you remember when?
He wasn't in popular at some point, was he?
A song composed by Charlie Chaplin is Smile.
Oh, so she's done
Smile,
research.
Though your heart is able.
Really?
Smile. Yeah. There we go.
I didn't know that.
There we go.
You can do it again for another magazine.
Now, somebody else, another two people that you wrote about as well, Laurel and Hardy. So you wrote this article. Where was it published?
It's not been published. They're still holding it for consideration.
That's the term they use.
Oh, right. Okay. So tell us about why you picked Lauren Hardy to write
about.
They're
brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've watched them on the. Yeah. I know, aren't they? Yeah. Everyone loves them, I think. So I thought, I'll do an article on them.
They came to Southend, of course. You know, they stayed at the Regent Palace.
Regent. And one of them, the little one, was born in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the big chap, they were married a few times, both of them.
Yeah.
But they got on so well together. Oh, they were great. They made me laugh so much.